We're going to talk about women in ministry, and I don't always do that because it's WM Day, talk about women, or if it's Men's Ministries Day, talk about men. Don't always do that, but felt led to do that this morning. So I'd like to talk to you about women in ministry. Genesis chapter 2, a familiar portion of Scripture. We'll begin reading with verse 21. Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Father, we ask your blessing upon this word today. Lord, I pray specifically for the ladies and the young ladies that are here today, Lord, that they would be encouraged and they would see their place in the home, in the church, in your kingdom. Lord, that they would see your purpose for them, and they would accept that purpose and be excited about it. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's something I had really never thought about before, but as I began to look at the Scriptures, I saw that it is true. The Lord chose to compare a family with the Trinity. In doing so, he called the head of the family, the man, after his own name, Father. He likened the children in the family to his son, the second person in the Trinity. So we have somebody who represents God the Father, and we have people in the family who represent God the Son. But what about the lady? What about the woman? Where does she fit in all of that? By process of elimination, we come to realize who represents the Holy Spirit in the family. There's only one person left, and that is the lady, the woman, the mother. That means that you, the lady, the wife, the mother, you represent the Holy Spirit and that part of the Trinity. If you would like to find your duties in life, just take your Bible and begin to study the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and you'll find out what you are supposed to do. Look at the Holy Spirit. He comforts, so does mother. He teaches, so does mother. He instructs, so does mother. Think of all the ministries that the Holy Spirit has and does in the world. He is the unseen one, and so often is the mother. He is the one who gives the attention to the others, so is the mother. So if you want to know what your duties are in the family, all you have to do is find out the duties of the Holy Spirit in the Trinity, because you are the Holy Spirit in the home. Now, all that God has made before man was made for man. It was the Garden of Eden. It was a beautiful place. It was really a perfect place. God made that in all of its beauty and splendor for one person. He made it for man. And man had everything that he needed, it seemed, and yet there was something that was still missing. Adam needed somebody to share this garden with. He needed somebody to share all of the beauty of God's creation. He needed somebody to share that with. He needed somebody that he could take a stroll with at night and say, "Look at the stars, aren't they pretty?" Adam needed somebody that he could share the beauty of the garden with. Look at these plants. Look at these flowers. Look at this tree. He longed for fellowship with a kindred spirit, one who had the same kind of desires and could enjoy the things that he enjoyed. Somebody like him, but somebody different. And so God made Eve. He made woman. And here she comes, all dressed in all the beauty that a human being can possess. I've heard it said, I've used it before, that woman was not taken from man's head to rule over him, nor was she taken from his heel to be crushed by him. But she was taken from one of his ribs, underneath his arm, to be protected. some place where she could be comforted, a place where she could feel loved. So there she is, Miss Universe. She had no competition, but there she is, Miss Universe. She was created with all of the beauty and the perfection of the garden. She gave Adam exactly what he needed. So there she stands with the beauty of Sarah as she made Abraham her Lord. There she stands with the courage of Deborah as she stood beside Barak in the battle against the enemy. There she stands with the unselfishness of Hannah as she prayed for and reared her son. There she stands with the devotion of Rizpah as she vowed to protect even the dead bodies of her own. There she stands with the royalty of Esther as she stood before the king and spared her nation. There she is again with the grace of Lydia, the poise of Mary, the humility of Phoebe, the friendship of Dorcas, the faith of Rhoda, the ambition of Salome, the patience of Anna, the loveliness of Rachel, the love of Jochebed, the gentleness of Elizabeth. I'm sure you get the idea. All of these women in the Bible had outstanding qualities that you can model your life after. Take all of the good from these women in the Word of God, and their, ladies, is what God has intended for you to be. Now, I know that's a lofty ideal, and God has always given us lofty ideas, something that we can strive to attain. But on the other hand, be careful, because in the loveliness of this woman is also the potential for ugliness. In her joy is the potential for sadness. In her grace is the potential for selfishness. In her humility is the potential for pride. In her submission is the potential for rebellion. In her faith, there is the potential of doubt. And we see women in the Bible who filled these attributes as well. But I want to encourage you today that you are the Holy Spirit in your home. You are the Holy Spirit in your family. And you can be like these women in the Bible. That is your calling, high calling. But behind the smile dwells the possibility of an ugly disposition. And so it's up to you. Just like it was up to Eve, it's up to you to decide what you will be like. But whether it is good or bad, there is one thing the woman always does. She determines the spirit and the atmosphere of any place where she is present. I don't know if ladies fully comprehend that and understand that, but it's true. You control the spirit. I've often said that the woman is the thermostat in the home. You control the spirit and the atmosphere of wherever you are present. It's the woman's job to determine the atmosphere while the house is built. It is her duty to make happy the one who builds the house. And again, you have a great responsibility and a great amount of influence. A woman's spirit determines the peace of the home, the spirit of the office, the unity of the church, sometimes even the health of her husband and the joy of her children. Now, I'm not going to say you're fully responsible for your husband's health, but I did hear an interesting joke. I shared this joke on Wednesday night, so some of you guys will have to bear with me. But this man was very, very ill. And he went to the doctor to find out what was wrong. The doctor ran a bunch of tests, and one day he called. The wife answered the phone. The doctor said, "I got some news about your husband." She said, "What is it?" He said, "Your husband is a very sick man. Your husband cannot handle stress. And so from now on, you have to speak lovingly to him. You have to speak kindly to him. You cannot upset him in the least." And she said, "Okay, thank you, doctor," and she hung up the phone. The husband said, "Honey, who was that on the phone?" She said, "That was the doctor." "Oh, what did he say? What did he say about my health?" She said, "You're going to die." Ladies, you are the one who makes your home a delightful place to be. It's your spirit. It's your attitude. It's your disposition. You know, many women honestly think that they don't have any self-worth. You know, but I'll tell you this. There are women in the Bible that are not mentioned by name. There's the Shunammite woman. There's that little maid that pointed Naaman toward the man of God. There's the widow who gave 2 mites. And there are many others. And they are very important. And they had a lot of worth, even though they weren't mentioned by name and maybe not recognized like some of the other people in the Bible. And the truth of the matter, ladies, is that you might not make the headlines. You might not break the records. You might not win the wars and fight the battles. But God has made you for a specific purpose. You know, Jesus Christ is the one that we exalt in our preaching, but it's the Holy Spirit who is the one who causes us to be drawn to Christ and to turn our attention toward Him. If it wasn't for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, our preaching about Christ would not be successful. The gospel gets people saved, but it's the unseen power of the Holy Spirit that is really felt in our services. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that tugs, and He is the one that we feel in our hearts. And that's what you are, ladies. You are the catalyst. You are the determiner. You are the unseen one. You are the one that is working behind the scenes, but you make it all possible. The next time you are prone to think, I'm not important, nobody appreciates me, remember that you are the one in the family that typifies the one in the Trinity that nobody really appreciates either. His job is as the spotlight that is covered by the bushes, but it shines on the building so that everybody can see the building. He is the one that shines on Jesus Christ. He's not seen very much. He's felt, yes, he's not seen very much, but he's the one that makes it possible for us to see Christ. It's your job as the unseen one to be the comforter, the Holy Spirit. If you want a good exercise, just take your Bible, look up the term Holy Spirit, find all that he does, and then decide that you are going to be and you are going to do what the Holy Spirit does. Get alone with God somewhere and tell him, God, thank you for making me a woman. Help me be the kind of woman that you need. Help me to be the kind of wife that my husband needs. Help me to be the kind of mother that my children need. Thank you for making me a woman. I'm satisfied with that role. The things that I do will become brighter. Woman is the catalyst. Number two, woman is the completer. I'm sure that we would all agree that God made everything for a purpose, but nothing is happy until it finds the purpose for which it was created, the purpose for which God made it. You know, it seems like all we hear these days is my rights, my rights. I want my rights. What about my responsibilities? What about my place? That's what I want to address here for a few minutes. The right that you have in life is the right to find God's will and fulfill your purpose for life, and then sit securely and work right in the center of God's purpose and place for you. Let me tell you, it's the only place that you will find contentment. It's the only place where you will really find fulfillment and satisfaction and joy in life. To be in the will of God is the highest honor given to us. God has a specific purpose for each of his creatures, so he has a specific purpose for women. God created you. This is no way to downgrade you at all. God created you to be the helpmeet. I believe that God saved the best for last, created everything else, but then he made woman because man was incomplete. He had it all in the garden, every perfect thing, and he even had direct fellowship with God himself. God came down in the cool of the day and talked and walked with Adam. But still, there was something missing. He wanted Adam to have the best of everything, to have his complete needs met. So to top off a perfect world, he created woman for the man. Man needed somebody to see how much he could lift and say, "My, you are strong." Adam needed somebody who would watch him take laps around the garden and say, "Wow, you are the fastest runner I know." Ladies, whatever your husband does, he's the best at it. He needs to hear you cheer him on. "Wow, you're fast. Wow, you're strong." He needs you to cheer him on so that he can succeed. The word helpmeet means completer. It's like finishing a circle to complete it. It means a completion. Like, you know, God didn't see a child and say, that child needed taken care of, and so I'm going to send somebody down to take care of that child. God didn't see a baby that had messy diapers and say, I'm going to send somebody down to change that baby's diapers. I'll create someone to take care of that. He didn't say, there's a dirty house, I'm going to create somebody to go clean the house. No, God sent you down to help, to be a helpmeet, help your man, help your husband. For those of you who have been blessed with the joy of having children, I'm sure that, you know, there's nothing quite like it. You really can't explain what it's like until you have your own child. And you hold that baby, and I know how precious and sweet it is for the dad. I really can't comprehend how it would be for the mother. Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. What a blessing. But your children is not why God made you. And you did not fulfill the purpose of being a woman the day you gave birth. God did bless you, perhaps, with the ability to have children, but that is not the main reason for your existence. And so whether you have children or not, you are complete when you fulfill God's purpose for you. God looked down and saw that man was not a complete package. He saw that he could not make it by himself, and God said, I'm going to make somebody to complete him. It's like a noun with no verb. Man is like a square without the four side. There was something missing. And so he made woman to complete him. That's your purpose. If you're married, that's your purpose. Woman comes to an incomplete man, completes him, and then reaps the benefits. That's her job. To complete man so that he can meet her needs, so that he can lead her. But he needs the woman to start him. Take interest in his job. Take interest in his hobbies. Ask questions. Be supportive. If he catches a 6-inch fish, say, wow, what a whale. That's the biggest fish I've ever seen. Of course, you know, there are women livers who don't see any truth in what I'm saying today. In fact, you know what women livers are? They're a group of confused women who are running around trying to find happiness and fulfillment in life, but they are failing because they are searching outside of God's word. And they'll never find fulfillment. You know, always in the Bible, she is to be the follower. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. But then in verse 25, three verses later, God says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Who's supposed to start it? The wife. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, we read, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then in verse 4, again, three verses later, we read, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does that mean? God gives the first command to the follower. He says, wife, I want you to do your job first. That means he says to the children, children, I want you to obey your parents, even if your parents don't really deserve it. You still obey them. Even if he's not the right kind of dad, you obey regardless. Let's look at another example from the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. And then in verse 9, the masters are exhorted to be good masters. God always puts on the follower the burden of having the initiative and being the aggressor. He speaks to them first. Wives, you do it first. Children, you do it first. Servants, you do it first. Now, I suppose there are young ladies here today and you're thinking, what does this have to do with me? This is no concern of mine right now. Well, girls, you probably have a father in your home. You might not, but you might have a father in your home. You might have a boss. I know you have a preacher that needs your prayers. You can pray for me. But if you learn to do the right things now, when the time comes, you will naturally do that which God has created you to do, that which God has ordained. And you know what you could be doing? You could be praying. If you think you might be getting married someday, you could be praying for your future husband, asking God to help him grow into the man of God that he needs to be for your sake. Ask God to fill his heart with love, more love for him even than he would have for you, because that'll make it all work. Pray that God would open and close the doors of your heart as they should be open and closed. Woman is the catalyst. Woman is the completer. And number three, woman is the committed. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." There had to be a warning put in Scripture, I think, because women would overstep their bounds in taking leadership. And God says they're not to usurp, they're not to take over the authority of a man. But women have this, they're committed. They work hard. You know, usually we don't have too much trouble finding women to fill the needs in our church. We have a more difficult time finding men. Women are more willing. They see a job that needs to be done, they're more willing to do it. And so women tend to be the committed ones. From these few verses of Scripture, we have a direct command for women to not usurp authority over the man. According to Titus 2:4, women are to teach the younger women. And ladies, if you're looking for a ministry, if you're looking for something to do, you can and should teach, especially other women and children. Ladies, there's a lot for you to do. You can encourage, edify, exhort, comfort. You can give your testimony to help others with the approval of your pastor. You can do all kinds of things in the church. You can lead the music. You can help at the altar. Pray with people, leading someone to the Lord. Play piano. Sing songs as specials. Be a church treasurer, as Clarice is. Many other things that there are to you, you can do. If you are under your husband, your pastor's authority, there are a myriad of things that you can do to become involved. And we need women in ministry. Why? I've already told you. You're the catalyst. You're the completer. You're committed. And we need you to commit yourselves, first of all, to the Lord. And then to commit yourself to your family. But also then to commit yourself to the church as God leads and as God directs. All ladies should be soul winners, should be sharing their faith and their testimony with other women, bringing them to the salvation knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Let me say again, we appreciate women in ministry. We appreciate you today. This message is not so much to bring any negative feeling upon you, but really to lift you up and exalt you, to show you your place, your purpose. God has a special purpose for you. So let me just ask, how are you doing as the catalyst? Would you say I'm more like the godly people in the Bible? Those positive attributes? Or are some of those negatives thrown in there as well? Are you the completer for your husband? Are you cheering him on? You making him come full circle? You're doing your best anyway. And then are you committed to your Lord, to your family, to your church? I'm not going to ask for any raise of hands today. Those are questions I just want you to ponder. But I would again like to pray for you. Lord, I thank you that you have made woman the way that you have. And I thank you for these women, all of these women who are part of our church family here. I thank you for each and every one. Lord, and I recognize the high calling that you have given them because they represent a part of the Godhead. They represent the Holy Spirit. Thank you for all these ladies who serve so unselfishly, who do so many things behind the scenes that they aren't always noticed. They aren't always given public praise. But yet, Lord, they are faithful. You take knowledge of their faithfulness. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless them and reward them for that faithfulness. Lord, we ask that you would just bless and keep each woman, each young lady here today. You meet every need that they have as they strive to fulfill your purpose and plan for them. May you meet every need. May you meet every expectation. May they be blessed beyond compare. For we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I must do. Even though it's humble, help my will to crumble. Oh, the path seems work for you, Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I must do. Even though it's humble, for you. I almost do it.